Hey, welcome back, everybody. Finishing out a wild week. As we mentioned before, just to remind you that Fonnie Willis, which should be Fannie Willis, obviously, reminds me of young Frankenstein when Gene Wilder decided to call himself Frankenstein. But it's Fannie. But it's Fonnie Willis gets to stay on the case if Nathan Wade is out. After all, Nathan Wade's so experienced. He did car accidents and wills before he started dating her, so I'm sure he earned it. But why she's able to stay in the case, if you read the 23 pages, essentially saying, we know they lied, but we don't think it affected the case. What about an ethics violation? And does it matter that she also lied when asked, why did you make that speech at Martin Luther King Church and talk about bringing race into this case? Oh, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking generically. Again, another lie. With me in studio is Arthur Lee. If you're smart enough to be watching on Fox Nation or on the Fox app, you could actually see him, the founder of LifeHack, author of Sorry, Can't is a Lie. The founder of LifeHack is in studio. Welcome back, Arthur.
Hey, Brian. Thank you so much, man. Yeah, you're always a supporter.
Absolutely. So first off, why did you decide this was a good time to write your story?
Well, I was trying to make a decision, as I do every day, and I started plucking from my Rolodex of experience. Mm-hmm. And I was flying down to see my daughter. I was in the plane, and I just started jotting them down. Half the time I was laughing because a lot of my foundational values come from very odd stories. And I also had a tragedy in my life, and I thought I could help other people by writing a simple book.
Tragedy was a car accident.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, suicide is so prevalent now, and I dealt with it over 20 years, 10 years. I really wanted to leave. My empathy for my mom, because I saw the devastation from the accident, is what saved me. And I don't think you could tell someone, you know, persevere, hang in there, life will get better. I think the first step is a solid reason not to take your life.
So describe what happened, I think.
The accident?
Yeah.
Well, basically, we was going to, me and my buddies were going to Niagara Falls, and I fell asleep at the wheel. A car went off the road. My two best friends died, and I was in intensive care for 2 weeks. I was 20 years old.
And what, you were all banged up too, right?
Oh, yeah. I almost died. I had punctured lung, broken ribs, broken scapula, a lot of blood loss.
Where'd you go from there? Devastated, right?
Yeah, I think, and it comes out in the book. I was devastated. But what's wild is the empathy for my mom saved my life then, and my understanding of the pain of others is why we have LifeHack. Because when I made it for my daughter, I remember, how could I let someone else lose their child in their arms, and I know that pain.
So you're projecting the pain your mom would be in.
Yeah.
Stopped you from committing suicide.
Yeah. Because when you know, I saw my two best friends' parents and siblings and friends crushed. And then, you know, much as I wanted to leave, I knew I could not do it. I felt other people could take it, my dad, my sister, my friends, but I knew my mom couldn't. And it's not about suicide can't as a lie. It's about building solid foundations in a simple method and the odd ways that you can get your foundation. But that was the reason for me, that I could not purposely do that to her.
So one day you hear about a kid choking, you project it, you know, that could have been my daughter. And you just got, you have an engineering background, your dad was an engineer, correct? And you just started working on this.
Yeah.
And you come up, how long did it take you from concept to completion?
Oof. Well, completion's an odd word. It was like a year to have a really good prototype. 4 years to really get it where it was at a point where we were testing it on mannequins and force tests, and 6 years to market.
And you're just talking about a way people think, oh, someone's joking, Heimlich maneuver. You're like, that's not effective all the time. How do I stop that? How do I increase those odds? You come up with LifeHack, and that was how many years ago?
That was 11 years ago.
How many units have you sold so far?
Probably 4 million, 3.5 million.
How many lives have been saved?
Just coming up on 2,000, over 1,100 kids.
And these are just people that wrote back to you and said,
yeah.
And you know about. Who
yeah.
knows how many others?
Yeah.
But between the Ring doorbell and surveillance cameras, this has helped tell your story.
Well, I mean, the leap of faith happened when I had it all together, and you can't prove it works. I can't test it on a person. I was going to fly to Mexico myself, and I'm testing on me just to get around the regulation. But We have 9 peer-reviewed medical journals. No one knows that. But if you watch a police officer save a child on YouTube,
right,
then you see it work. And it is that simple. And once again, it was my empathy because I did it because I knew I would not survive holding my daughter and having her die in my arms. Right. I'm done. That day, 10 minutes later. So I wanted to save her. But then I realized from the accident, how do I let your kid die and read about it and
right.
know that I was too scared or I was too worried about my getting sued or my finances? It was a non-negotiable. I'm going in on everything I got.
It's almost, and then you have the concept, almost like a plunger.
Yeah.
Right?
It's basically a sink plunger from Home Depot that I re-engineered to suck out instead of push in.
And what has been – so I know – so I was doing something with the Nassau County Police, and he opened up his trunk, and there's the life vest.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Right. But I see it everywhere, but I don't see it everywhere it could be. It's in how many countries now, 23?
We've saved lives in 27 countries.
27
where we
countries.
Actually saved a life.
What stops every school from having this?
Stupidity, fear. Our society has become very fear-based. When I started
– we're about being sued, too.
Well, that's what it is. It's fear in general. So the first fear is, and they all said it to me, don't do it, you're going to get sued. You're going to get sued. It's too dangerous. You got a good life. Don't do it, don't do it. Luckily, I said, yeah, too bad. I'm going to do it because then I am a coward and I'm
right.
a ridiculous moron that I'm willing to let a child die that could be saved. So they're afraid, oh, we can't have it, we'll get sued. And then there's these myths. I'll just do the Heimlich. Well, it doesn't always work. I studied that. It's not in protocol with AHA or, oh, yeah. That's not how it works. Read the American Heart Protocol. It says the protocol's up to you. You got to do anything reasonable. So we have a combination of fear and, you know, lack of actual knowledge.
So the thing is, this plays into two stories. Number two, the 32-hour work week. If you only work 32 hours, how many life hacks would you invent? Zero.
Yeah.
Number two.
That's a day.
Yeah. Number two is TikTok.
Yeah.
So you get this invention. It goes out. You're saving lives. And all of a sudden, you realize you're being knocked off.
Yeah.
What happened and what role did TikTok
play?
Well,
this get rid of TikTok is the right thing to do. The problem, we went viral and we had one, I had one on my site that 9 million, then we had one as a company.
And by the way, listen to us right now. What site can we go on as people can see some of these saves?
Lifehack.net is best, and I appreciate that. So we went viral. It was probably less than a month later, we had 7,000 Chinese knockoffs. What they do is they mine TikTok for what's successful. Now, the problem is they don't obey any rules or laws. They avoid the FDA. They avoid any form of compliance or quality control, and they steal all the marketing. This is their culture is business. It's just business stealing all this stuff. But
Their culture is stealing.
It is. But here's the weird thing, though. They don't ethically think it's wrong. It's business. We just take everything. We'll just steal it. But it is it's corrupting our company, our country. They avoid the FDA. They avoid all laws. They are on Amazon, which is illegal, and Amazon's against rules. On Facebook, which is illegal, and it's against Facebook rules. And they sell you crap. And they use TikTok to mine the public. You know, we're worried that they're influencing our brains, which the whole thing does. But what we don't understand is that's what its major business function is. What is good? They only steal what's good, and that's where they get the data.
And they don't have any government coming after you. So if I tried to knock off Arthur Lee's LifeVac, you can sue me. You're going to find out exactly where I am. You sue me. Absolutely.
If you're in the U.S.
But if you're in Singapore, if you're in Beijing, and then you're and I think I'm ordering a LifeVac. Oh, that LifeVac. That's a guy I saw on TV. That's a guy I listened to on the radio. So I order it. All of a sudden, wait a second, it's not LifeVac. I got some Chinese knockoff. May or may not work.
Yeah.
It's a knockoff. I'm not giving the inventor the money. So then how did you solve that real quick?
Well, we went to the Commerce Department?
We
play whack-a-mole. Ideally, the FDA would do it because it's an illegal medical product, right? So they should shut them down. The MHRA does that. We're working with the FDA. We've been investigated by the FDA numerous times, and that's fine. And they're very scrutinized, and that's great. Make sure I make them out of product. We had last exposure we had, no problems. We were perfect. The problem is they don't go after them. Same whack-a-mole reason. They're Chinese. You go after them, they just change.
His book is now out. It is called Sorry, Can't is a Lie. It's an inspirational story about how Arthur Lee founded the Life Hack and what he went through to get there, saving lives every minute that he does it. The more he gets the word out, the more people use it, and the more people save it. This is the best example. Let's say you go into a baby shower today, and everyone's like, oh, what do I get? You know, where are they registered? But can you imagine if you're the one that bought the Life Hack and you get a call saying I used the Life Hack you gave me.
It's the best.
And my kid's alive. My senior citizen in my house. My dad, who's having trouble at this point in his life. You saved his life to stop him from choking. George Bush, 41. He almost choked a bunch of times because he had Parkinson's. Yeah. And this would have been a lifesaver for him. So can you imagine you could have that feeling? I can't imagine you might not want that. Arthur is the founder of Life Hack. A few more minutes with him when we come back. You'll listen to Brian Kilmeade Show. I'm going to pose this question to him. What if Bernie Sanders says it's illegal to work more than 32 hours? If he got his way, that would be the new American way. I think it would destroy the country. Don't move.
Information you want. Truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Now, if a business wants to voluntarily try a 32-hour work week for themselves, federal law allows it. We don't have to mandate. And we will hear from a business today that does that. So if an employer thinks it's good for their business, makes them more competitive, go for it. We think that's a good thing. Government should not be in the business of undermining an employer's ability to keep their doors open with unreasonable and perhaps unconstitutional mandates.
So Senator Bill Cassidy, who made his money as a doctor, I'm sure that took a lot where you had to work a little bit more than 32 hours, maybe 32 hours a day, and then went into the Senate, is a little bit outraged that Bernie Sanders would be looking to mandate 32 hours or else I guess your business gets fined or additionally taxed and make it part of the work week. I just could not believe Arthur Lee, founder of Life Hack, who's here now, his book, Sorry, Can't is a Lie. I can't believe that they would look to put this into American society. Does it worry you?
Yeah, it worries me a great deal. The American Work Ethic is already in danger of destruction.
Did you find that when you hired people, or did you have trouble getting people to understand the job?
I've resourced from my past, and all the people with me are people I've known, and we all work about 80 hours a week. But the problem is just the destruction of the pride of work. And you knock that down, owners like me, we're dead.
So you and Michael Rowe become friends now, and yeah. You guys talk about this.
I can't help it. The guy has a good wisdom. He gets it, you know?
Right.
And I appreciate him, and he's right.
So this is some of the answers, Arthur. These are some of the witnesses said yesterday. We'll play all of it. We'll play most of it. Cut 27.
We're here today because for 84 years, there's been no reduction in the standard work week.
People are tired. Workers are already finding ways to rest at work. They are surfing the internet. They are just slowing down. They are stepping away just to get the energy to get through the workday. I'd rather just give people back their time so they can properly rest.
There is no statistical evidence to merit a nationwide mandate of a 32-hour work week. And in fact, there's clear evidence against it.
I think COVID made people wake up and realize what's important in life. I believe it's a fact that people have woke up and they've decided, I'm not going to leave my home for $12 an hour when I can't even afford to pay the bills.
So you have somebody say they need to rest. They're working so hard, they got to rest at work, yeah. And they'd rather rest at home.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
We never learned that.
No.
You get jobs when you're 16, work as hard as possible,
yeah.
And there should be, I mean, your goal is to do something for a living that you feel fulfilled in.
Well, if you don't want to work, you don't have to. So why are we restricting the amount you want to work? You want to be successful, you work.
Right.
And you should be proud to work. I don't think we need regulations that say you can't work. We got enough people that don't want to work.
Right. And the idea that people don't understand that and politicians don't want to say that. And I brought this up with David Bonson, who's a very successful businessman. I said, do you think a politician can get elected if he says, I need everybody to work harder,
yeah.
Put more into it? Can you do that?
Well, the problem is you should want to. I mean, you and I work our butts off, and there's pride in that. I mean,
right.
I'm going back to as a kid, and I was breaking cement for my dad. And, you know, at the end of the day, I went over to him, and he said, good job, son. Well, we don't need to restrict the amount of work you do. If you want to work, work hard. It's good for you. It's healthy. It gives you pride. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. In your book, you talk about certain things. You were successful even before you invented the life hack, right?
Yeah. The book is a lot about that. You know, there are stories of growing up that were like my uncle with FU money, my dad working on the treehouse together, and all these little incidents. You're in the book. The games do count from playing ball and learning what teamwork is and sacrifice and effort. But it's all a collection of those moments that affect my foundational ideas, my foundational non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. And some of them are funny, throwing a rock, throwing a marshmallow, all goofy stuff. But I learned lessons. And I think with the isolation of our new technology, it's important to look back and to say, what makes me who I am?
True. Just we'll out life back with a few minutes we have remaining. You'll be on One Nation this weekend, Saturday, 9 o'clock. You have some of these personal stories, and then this week I was saying, guys, make sure we get the best video for Arthur Lee's segment, and they said, you see what went viral. Tell us about this police officer, what happened, and how we got the dash cam video that we're going to show.
I just got a chill, man. Yeah, he shows up, the child, they thought it was a food, it was like mucus and fluid, which is very difficult to clear. They'd hit him a back slowed and done policy, and the officer.
Where are we now, Ohio?
Yeah, he puts it together. You see him put it together. You see it, but you know what the beauty is?
So wait, just what happened? Like, so a kid was choking. How old's a kid?
He was 4.
4 years old.
Yeah.
They called 911.
Right.
The cop has a life hack.
Right.
So then we pick up the video.
Pulls it out of the trunk, races over, hits kid, doesn't work. They backbone him again, doesn't work. Lay him down. A few more pumps, saves the kid's life. The kid high-fives one officer, and then he hugs the other officer. He gives him a hug.
Wow.
And you couldn't put together more of what I'm trying to accomplish, right? The kid shows gratitude to the officer. The officer did the right thing, had a life hack, and the difference was a life hack, and that child's still here. So my soul's okay, and his parents are okay.
How much does it cost?
$69.
So what is it like when in the last minute of having Randy, when you know hear the video comes in, or you see it on the computer, or it comes immediately? What is that like?
I get a chill, and because of my accident, I know that I just saved not only that kid, but his family, his friends, his grandparents. There's no greater feeling of gratitude than I watched that child be saved.
You said something to me when the hole was saved. You invited everybody to your company, and you say, "You see that kid?" And he looked about 8. He goes, he gave his brother something that he was choking on.
Imagine.
Can you imagine if that kid?
Well, it was me. Yeah. I was driving.
Right. Same thing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's all in your book, and you could pick it up now. Sorry, can't is a lie, and pick up the life hack right now. But just make sure it's not the one from China.
Yes,
the real
stay
one.
With
lifehack.net. Keep it here, everyone. See you Saturday night on One Nation, 9 p.m.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.